ラジオ。
Indeed, I count a privilege to be here with you, with Scott and the family, and I pray our meditation on His Word may be blessed of God. I'm so glad for the children. I almost just want to talk to the children, tell you the truth, because they are so important, and that's just the truth of the matter. But I pray that as we think upon the Word of God tonight, it'll be help for all of us. We're going to be turning to prophet Isaiah. First of all, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44. I'm sure all of us get kind of discouraged. Joshua, do you ever get tired and discouraged? Oh, you're not Joshua, are you? You are? Caleb. Oh, yes, Caleb. Well, Joshua's a good name, too. All right. And sometimes we need to remember what God has done. And we're going to talk about remembering a bit tonight and other matters. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21, 22. Just those two verses, I think. Isaiah 44, 21 and 22. This is in the context of God's people who have failed, been taken into captivity, and so crushed in many ways. And they brought upon their own heads in many ways too. But now this is what God says through the prophet to His people. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. You shall not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Now, even before we look at that text, there's two things in that verse that God tells His people to do. Can you find those two things God has told us to do in that verse? What's the first thing He tells us to do? To remember. And what's the second thing He tells us to do? Well, it's down in the end of verse 22.
Yeah.
Return, yes. Remember. Return. That's kind of easy. Two R's, okay? Remember and return. You know, we need to remember sometimes. If you want to turn over in your Bible again, just a few, quite a few pages to the right, to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. This is what remembering can do for us. Lamentations 3. The book of Lamentations is a song of great sorrow. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. God's people have been so beaten down. And Jeremiah, who writes this song of Lamentations, remembering these things and what's happened. And now it says in Lamentations 3, verse 20, first of all. Lamentations 3, verse 20. My soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Now, if you just look back at the previous verse, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and my the gall, or even the previous verse before that, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. And remembering this, Jeremiah says, my soul is humbled in me. So here his memory strikes him down and says, oh, there's been so much failure. And he's humbled and in many ways just so disillusioned and tired. But then he remembers something else. Notice the next verse, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, he's remembering. Therefore have I hope. So on the one side, memory humbled him. On the other side, memory lifted him up. We don't only have to remember what humbles us. God also wants us to remember the things that bring us hope. And he reads this on. Notice verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We can remember that. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes when I haven't seen someone for some period of time, in fact just the other day, someone said, well, what's new? And this is what I said. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Every morning, the mercies of the Lord. And we can remember that. Notice verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So God wants our memory not just to remember the things that are sad and bad and crushing. He wants to remember the things that bring us hope. How God has undertaken. I heard a man preaching many years ago in India. This is 1964 actually. And that was, I thought it was kind of a boring sermon, because he was just talking about the church building. And it wasn't such a even nice building as this. But he was talking about it, and I thought, oh man, I shouldn't have come here today, this place. I should have gone to another church. But in the midst of that talk, he asked a question for us to ask ourselves. Ask yourself, when did God last fail you? When did God last fail you? At this point, I'd been in India for about five, six years. And I got thinking, I'm sitting in, my wife is getting the lunch ready, and I'm sitting in a rocking chair there in this place. It's not our home, we're up in the hills. And I got meditating. When did God last fail me? Here I come across to from Canada to India in a ship, and running around India all over the place all the time it seemed, and God had never failed me yet. And I just started to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father." It's good to remember God's past mercies, how he's helped, how he's kept you till today. So now in our text tonight from Isaiah 44, the first thing our text tells us is to remember. Now this is what I want us all to mark down, several things God calls us to remember. A needy people, maybe a discouraged people, here is something for us to remember. Okay? The first thing, you are my servant. That's mentioned twice in that verse. Remember, you are my servant. You're my servant. You belong to me. If you'd like to turn over to Acts chapter 27, this is what the Apostle Paul said when he was at the, in the sea and so dangerous, and they're almost thinking they're going to drown. And he says this in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. He tells these people, don't be afraid. But now he says in verse 23 of Acts 27, there stood by me this night an angel of God, now notice his words, whose I am, who I serve. I belong to him, and I serve him. And so he goes on the next verse, This is what he told me. Fear not, Paul. You're not going to get killed out here in the water. You're going to be brought before Caesar. You're going to get to the end of your trip. God would tell you tonight, as his child, you are my servant. In Psalm, just go back a couple of pages in your Bible. Psalm 143. In Psalm 143, the psalmist is very cast down. This psalm means very much to me. One night, this is back in Bombay, India, Mumbai now. Every night I would read one or two or three psalms with my wife. She'd always say, "Why do you read the Psalms every night? There's other parts of the Bible." I said, "Honey, I'm so tired, and the Psalms is easier to read at night." Because Jenny, I got home very late. So every night I'm reading two or three Psalms. And we're sitting in the bed, and I'm reading. And this particular night, I read Psalm 143. And as I'm reading it, I'm making various comments on it. It just seemed real lessons were coming to me. And they were. And I don't want to discuss that now because that's not our message. The psalm ends with these words. Do this, he says. Notice those last words in Psalm 143. For I am thy servant. That was an argument for God to work on his behalf. For I am your servant. Well, the next day, after that night, the next day I went to the Bible college, and I was speaking in the chapel, and somehow God just led me to speak from Psalm 143. And really what I did that day is to share with the students and others what I'd shared with my wife the previous night. And God just moved in and blessed in such a wonderful way that I've not seen very often. One of the faculty members, he was an Indian brother from Kingston, Trinidad, actually. And I knew him well. But we're now kneeling, as we do in India, on the floor and praying. And this brother was pouring out his heart. And I realized how discouraged. Now, he's working. He's teaching and he's working with me. I didn't know how discouraged he was. And in his prayer, he said, "Lord, you know how I tried to commit suicide twice by throwing myself in front of a car or a bus. He wasn't able to do it." And as he's pouring out his heart, he says, and he wants to be right with God, he says, "Lord," and he quoted those last words in Psalm 143, "Lord, I am your servant. I didn't make myself your servant. You made me your servant." He was a young Hindu boy from West Indies, Trinidad, dying of TB in a hospital there. He was called the living dead. He was so thin, no flesh on his bones at all. One lung had completely collapsed. And one day some young people came into the hospital. They were singing and sharing the gospel, I believe. And he's a Hindu now, remember. He's only heard the name of Jesus about twice. The first time from a drunken Muslim. When a drunken Muslim was singing about the prophets. And in the Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet. So Yesu Masih is the way they said Jesus there in their language. And that was the first time this brother heard the name of Jesus with a drunken Muslim using his name as a prophet, of course. And he liked that somewhere. He liked that name. And now he's heard it again this day from these young people. That night, this is what this brother did. We called him Sonny. He knelt down and he said, "Lord," and this is how he prayed. He said, "Lord, I want what those young people have." He doesn't know much of our religious words. He's never been in the church, never read a Bible, never heard our kind of Christian language. All he said to God was this, Lord, I want what those young people have. And God heard the cry of that young, 19-year-old Hindu man, and he was saved. But the next day or two, he got thinking. He knew he was saved. And he said, Lord, you have saved my soul. Maybe you would heal my body. So he gets out of his bed again, and it's not a nice hospital like we have here, I assure you. And he prayed to the Lord that God might be pleased to give him health so he could serve him. And don't ask me how it worked, but God gave him a brand new lung. He still had the scar on his throat when I knew him, that you have tracheotomy deal, whatever you call it. I don't know what you call that deal for breathing. Though many, many years later, he was about 19 then. This brother lived to about 74 years old. And he worked in India for 5-10 years, went back to Trinidad, established churches. But his cry was this, Lord, and this is what he said, Lord, I didn't make myself your servant. You made me your servant. Remember, I am your servant. And God restored that brother so much, he was just rejoicing because he remembered he was God's servant. So God says here in our text, remember this, you are my servant. You didn't make yourself my servant. I have made you my servant. I have called you. I've made you mine. The second thing he would have us remember is this. In verse 21, I have formed you. That means, just think of this. All of us, and we got some of these young children tonight, all of us, one time, were in our mommy's tummy, weren't we? And God formed us there. He formed us. He made us. He made us just as we are. To be as tall or short, to look like we are, whether boy or girl, whether dark hair, light hair, whatever. When I went to school, I started school when I was just about 4 days before 5 years old. That's when I started school, just five years old, almost. And always I was the shortest in my class. I'm still quite short, obviously, but I was always the shortest in my class. And we're standing in the front row there, and the teacher standing up here, and we're singing God, O Camera, God Save the Queen or something. And I'm thinking, she's seeing me so small. All these other kids are so tall, and I'm just a little. I'm not going to use the next word. I was a little, okay? And this is what I used to do. And unfortunately, it's hung to me. I'd stand there, stick my stomach out, hope the teacher sees my big stomach and forgets how short I am, okay? Now, I don't worry about that anymore because God made me as I am. God formed me. He knows what is best. I got two brothers, both over 6 foot tall. One brother that Pastor Scott knew very well, he was about 5'10 or so. I got a son over 6 foot, two grandsons over 6 feet, four now over 6 feet, and I'm just a little small, I was going to say runt pig. You know the runt pigs? The smallest one of the litter. That's the way I was. But that's the way God made me. God formed us. He said, I have formed you. We can't do everything, but God made us what we are. He's given us abilities. He's given us gifts. He's given us things we love to do. He has formed us. So God says, listen, I not only have made you my servant, I'm the one who made you. I form you. Well, we could talk about that a long time. But just remember that. You'd never have to try to be like somebody else. You don't have to talk like somebody else. You don't have to look like somebody else. You don't have to sound like somebody else. You are unique. You are special. Every one of us here tonight is special. God made you, formed you. We say, and truly, we all have our own DNA. We all have our own thumbprint, fingerprint, all individual. None of us are the same. God has made you a unique person. He says, remember that. Remember your uniqueness. Remember, you don't have to be like somebody else. You don't have to act like somebody else. You don't have to sound like somebody else or walk like somebody else. You just have to be what God wants you to be. I have formed you. So, first of all, you're my servant. Secondly, I formed you. Thirdly, in the same verse, you shall not be forgotten by me. I am not going to forget you. Sometimes we think God has forgotten me. When things are difficult, things are hard, we might think sometimes God must have forgotten me. Here I'm working, or maybe my child is sick, or I can't figure this out. No help is coming. God must have forgotten me. Would you turn over just a couple of pages in your Bible to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Verse 14 and 15 and 16. Isaiah 49. This is what Zion, God's people, were saying. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. I remember years ago, because I'll be referring to India many times, I doubt, because I was there for so many years, 40-some years. Another brother and I were trying to help a couple that really, he had left her, the husband had left for another woman. But we were trying to get them reconciled. And we were talking, got them together this day. We had one little beautiful little girl, and we were talking to them that day. And the wife said, it's not only that he's left us, but it seems he has forgotten us. And she said, that's the hardest. When our little girl's birthday comes, he never thinks of it. It just seems he has not only left us, he has forgotten us. Very sad to be forgotten like that. He said, well, I don't know what they're worrying about. I'm giving them money to help them. Children of Israel said, our Lord has forsaken me. Lord has forgotten me. Did you ever think you're forgotten? This is what God says to that idea, okay? Listen to this, verse 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Not likely, but yes, they might forget, the psalmist said. They may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have graven it upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I've put you right on my palms of my hands. I've engraven you there. How can you ever think that I would forget you? You shall not be forgotten. That will always be true. That it will be always true of you as God's child. He will never forget you. Never. So God says, I want you to remember that. When you're going through difficulties and maybe you're feeling down, remember, He has not forgotten you. Maybe all alone somewhere, isolated from people, and maybe isolated in your heart from all others. Remember, He has not forgotten you. He knows right where you are. And let's go on for the next thing He says. Verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions, and as a cloud your sins. I blotted out all your sins, all your failures. Because sometimes when you're down, you remember all those things. You remember your failures. You remember your sins, just like we mentioned earlier. But remember this. Yes, we have sinned, but He has blotted out all of our sins. Back in chapter 43 of Isaiah, just across the page maybe, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Notice what God says. I, even I, am He that blots out your transgressions. Now notice this. For my own sake, and will not remember your sins. I blot out your sins, not because you deserve it, not because you're good, not because you prayed hard, or anything. I blot out your sins for my own sake. That is in grace. Because my Son has paid the penalty, and for my own sake, I have blotted out all your sin. We read in Acts chapter 13, 38 and 39. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things. All our sins are blotted out. He says, remember that. Don't just remember the sins you have committed, though horrible they are, but also remember, I have blotted them out. And what's He say? And I will not remember them against you. I'm not going to remember them. I've blotted out your sins. Remember that. The fifth thing, I believe it's the fifth, in verse 22, the last part, and it's such a great word. It's accurate. It was so nice to read these verses up here that you got on your church. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. That word redemption. I have, notice what it says, I have redeemed you. That word redeem means purchased. And it also has a thought of being set free. I have redeemed you. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter 1 verse 18. We read these words. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. But notice verse 19 now. But with the precious blood of Christ, redeemed, that's 1 Peter 1, 18, 19. Redeemed by the precious blood. You are redeemed. You're purchased. You're mine. We're bought with a price. So God says to us tonight, remember this. Remember, you're my servant. Remember, I have formed you. Remember this. You'll not be forgotten by me at any time. Remember this. I blotted out all your sins. The story is told of Martin Luther. Where he was, I don't know at this point. But apparently the devil came along and was accusing him very heavily. And Satan's supposed to have said to him like this, "Now what are you going to do about that, all those sins?" And Luther said to him, "Is that all you can remember? I know more than that." And then he said this, "And yes, the blood of Jesus Christ has washed them all away," he told Satan. "Give all the accusations you want, name every sin against me that you want to, the blood of Christ has washed them away, has redeemed me. I am redeemed." And God says, "I want you to remember that." Now the next word we're to do is what? Somebody said, what's the second thing to do? Return, yes. We're to return. In the light of all these five things, when we're discouraged, cast down, what should we do? Return to Him. Return unto me. Turn to Malachi, the prophet Malachi, the last Old Testament book. Malachi. Chapter 3 and verse 7. What is written here is a principle that is all the way through the Bible. It's in different words sometimes. It's sometimes written like this: draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. That's always true. And here's what prophet Malachi says in chapter 3 and verse 7. "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts." God says to us tonight, God said to His people there, return. But don't just return to something. Return to me. We've wandered from Him, however we've wandered. He says, return to me. The old hymn writer says, "I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home." Return to God. Remember what He has done for you. Remember it. Remember, He made you His servant. Now, saying His servant doesn't mean to be a missionary, a preacher, necessarily. It means a child of God whom He has loved, made His own. "I've made you my servant. I formed you. I know everything about you. Everything about you." Isn't it amazing how many unique factors in every one of our lives, even physically, but then emotionally, mentally, so many ways we are so unique. My wife and I were blessed to have 6 children. Then we had 5 before the last one was born. But 5, we were living in Bombay at that point. And one day my wife said to our doctor there, who's actually Hindu, she said, "I don't understand it. All these kids are so different." All 5 of them. And this doctor said, "Hold up your hand." And he said, "You see your hand? You got 5 fingers there." The thumb has a finger. He said, "Not one of your fingers are the same. So don't be surprised that your 5 children are different. God has made us, formed us uniquely to know Him and to reveal Himself in this world to others. Every snowflake is unique. Not 2 snowflakes apparently are the same. Think of the billions of snowflakes. Do you get any snow over here in Kindersley? Once in a while. Just think of all the billions of snowflakes, and no 2 snowflakes are the same. Think of the billions of people in this world, and there's no 2 thumbprints the same. No 2 DNAs the same. Even in twins,
what kind of twins do you call them? Identical twins. Even them, they are different. I have formed you. Remember that, God says. I formed you particularly to be you. To reveal myself, my glory through you. I formed you. Thirdly, remember this. Remember this when you maybe are discouraged. You're not forgotten. I've put you on my heart and my hand. You'll never be forgotten. Never. Throughout all eternity, you'll never be forgotten by God. Remember this. When the accusations come, remember what I've done with your sin. In Jesus coming to die and pay the penalty for your sin, remember I've blotted your sin out. He has paid it all. Jesus paid it all, the hymn writer said. All to him I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Remember this. I paid a great price for you. I paid a great price for you. I sent my son to die for you. My only beloved son. He went to Calvary. And there I poured all my wrath and my judgment that was due to all your sin. It fell on him. And he bore it all. He died and was buried. And 3 days later he rose again. He paid the price. He redeemed you. You are redeemed. So he says, remember this. And now he says, return to me. And what will God say when you return? Well, in a different way, in a different setting. Much like the prodigal son. When he returned to the father, what did the father do? He ran out to meet him. God is more ready to receive you than you are to come to him. Someone has said, God is more ready to forgive than you are ready oftentimes to sin. He's so ready to receive you when you turn your eyes toward him. So may the Lord help us tonight as his people. Remember and return. And he has said, it's true the first time, it's true the second time, it's true the 100th time. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. As John 6:37. It's true every time. Him that comes to me, I will never, never cast out. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for thy holy word. All your tenderness, your kindness, your loving purposes. We thank you tonight that we need not stop just remembering the dark side of things, but we can remember what you are and what you have done, and therefore have hope. So may we remember, O Lord. Yes, remember whence we've fallen, perhaps, but remember what you are and what you've done, and return to you. And you will return to us. You'll take us to yourself. So we praise you tonight, Father. I pray your blessing. I pray the young people too may grasp something. That indeed, you care for them. You'll never leave them or forsake them. So we give you thanks for this evening hour. In our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen.
And let's just turn to one more hymn before we close this evening. Number 314. Draw Me Nearer.